This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm going to ask you a question, guys. Put your hand up if you can answer me. What is hope? What's hope? Joseph, what's hope? So it's believing in something or and in Jesus, Ebony. So thinking that something can succeed, Josh. Yeah, so you're thinking of something and wishing that it would happen, that it would come to pass. Nathan? Yeah, and faith in something. So has everyone ever hoped that you'd get something for Christmas? Yeah? Or have you ever hoped that maybe you're going to do a test and you hope you're going to go okay with it? Yeah? Or have you ever hoped that maybe, I don't know, you'd wake up and it was your birthday? Wow. So we can hope for lots of things, and sometimes we think that hoping is a wish or a desire or something we want. The Bible puts hope in a little bit of a different way. If we wish for something or we really want something, like I would love to have a cheesecake right here. In fact, I wish that someone right now would make it for me and give it. Lenny will do that, you reckon? But wishing for something is, it may not come to pass. I wish that, you know, I had $1 million in my bank account, that I had a big red shiny Ferrari. But I don't really hope for those things, because the Bible talks about hope being something that's going to be, something that is in the future and that hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. So that's what's different. Hope in the Bible is we have hope in things that will come to pass. We know they will, and we can wait for them to happen. So, the Bible has a few things about what we can hope for. And let's have a look at some of them. The Bible says that we know that this is what's going to happen. This is one of the things, and we're hoping for it. The return of Jesus. He's going to come back. Do you believe it? So we have hope. It says in Titus 2:13, we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed, when he comes back and we see him in all his splendor. It's something that's going to happen. Just picture it. Jesus, the same way that he left this earth in a cloud, up he goes, that's the same way he's going to come back again. And we know it's going to happen and we're waiting for it. It's a hope we have within us. What else are we waiting for? Our full salvation, body, soul, and spirit. When you're saved, if you believe in Jesus, your spirit is saved instantly. What was once dead in you, so there's something that was, your spirit was something that was dead, but when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, it's like that spirit in us comes to life and is born again. That's what that born again means. And it's alive within us. And that's exciting. But not only is our spirit saved, but also our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. The Holy Spirit's doing a work in us to bring us to perfection and maturity. But not only that, our bodies, we're going to have new bodies. I don't know if you're happy with your body at the moment, or if it's, you know, wearing old and getting a bit tattered around the edges. But we have hope. We have hope that we're actually going to get a new body, a new body that's going to be amazing. It won't get sick, it won't get old, it won't get tired. Whew. I don't know if you can fully grasp that, but if you think about all the millions, billions of people in this earth who have died, there's been millions of them, that's a lot of people that have died, but our bodies that we're going to get from Jesus, death cannot touch it, and we'll be living forever. In Romans 8, it says, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God gives us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. Do you know someone already has a new body? It was Jesus. When he rose again, he had a new body. And he could do interesting things. He suddenly would appear somewhere, or it was amazing things he could do. And so Jesus is the first fruit of, of that new resurrected body that we're going to have. We don't talk about it much in church, but it's coming. We're getting a new body, and we need to get excited about that. Sometimes we think in heaven we'll just all be these sort of floaty, misty spirits, but we're going to have bodies like Jesus did, and it's going to be exciting. I mentioned it in that verse that God gives us our full rights as his adopted children. It says that in the age to come, we're going to rule and reign with Christ, and we're going to be his children that are reigning as kings and priests next to Jesus. It's amazing. And lots of this has some, you know, shadows and stuff that fulfilled in this time now, but there's a fullness of it that's coming that we're hoping for. Glory. Do you know when Moses went up on the mountain? Do you know this story? And God, he asked for God to go past him, but God said, you know what, if I went past you, you'd probably die because of the glory of God. And so God sort of hid Moses away in a bit of a rock and then went past him. And then Moses got a bit of a sneak preview. Oh, what was that? Oh, wow. And when Moses came down, does anyone know what had happened, Annalise? His face had the glory of God shining on it, so much so that he had to wear this material, this veil over his face, because the glory of God was just shining out of Moses. They couldn't handle it. They're like, whoa, turn down the brightness. Man, I know fluoros haven't been invented yet, but whoa. So they had to, I wonder if it was like that when he slept as well. How would he go to sleep? He'd be like, lying there, gee, my tent is so bright. I wish I could turn my face down. Where's the dimmer switch? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you reckon? Who knows? So, but that was just his face. But Christ, we have Christ in us. Can anyone finish that? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And not just a bit of glory from your, you know, your dial, but glory. Who knows what we're going to experience and sharing in the glory of Christ. If Moses gets a sneak peek at God and his whole face shines for however long it does, imagine us when we are in the presence of Jesus himself. Wow. We're going to share in that glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Wow. Bring it on. And eternal life. Wow, eternal life. That's life that goes on forever. Sometimes when you look up in the sky at night and we see the stars and we think, where does it stop? Does it stop? I had a friend that once told me that he reckoned it stopped. He reckoned space went out and then there was a wall and it stopped. So you might be traveling in a spaceship and then... Whoa. But then I said, well, what's on the other side of the wall? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And how far does it... But we... God's given us a taste of what eternity is by just looking up in the sky. Wow, that's eternity. But we're going to be living in eternal time where there's no night, there's no day, there's no end. Wow. No, I think there's still galaxies and stuff outside of our Milky Way galaxy. Yeah. Until the other galaxy. So there's gaps between stars within galaxies. Annalise? No, that's right. We can't look up and see eternity in this room because we just see like, yeah, that's a roof. We have to get rid of the roof and look at the stars. In Titus 3:7, it says, being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, where do we get this hope from? Because there's some pretty awesome stuff here that we're to have hope in. This is stuff that is going to happen. We just need to wait for it to happen. But where do we get it from? I know you're going to answer, Joseph, but I think let's see what you say and see if your answer's on the slide. What do you reckon? Yeah, that's right. So God, is that the first one? God, he's the source of hope. Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, and when I say source, Phoebe, I'm not talking about sauce you put on a pie or something. The source is the beginning of something. It's spelled differently. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, so he's the source of hope. He's where we get our hope from. At salvation is when that hope is first put in us. And we'll talk about that a bit later. But in Romans 8, it says, we were given this hope when we were saved. Simple as that. That's when our hope in all these things about eternal life and glory and Jesus coming back, when we were saved, that's when hope came in. From the scriptures, from the Bible, we can find out all this stuff. That makes sense, doesn't it? Romans 15:4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Another place that Bible says we get hope, it talks about when we have problems and trials in our life, and then we have endurance through that, and then that builds character in us, and that character produces hope. So we shouldn't shy away from difficult times in our life or from things that are coming our way or try and run from them or try and patch them up with Band-Aids, but actually to realize that God can, through patience, through tribulations, bring hope in us for what's to come. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If we think about what we have to go through on this earth, if we didn't have hope of what's to come, and there's a lot of people that don't have hope of what's to come and have to go through the trials of this world without that hope, that's tragic. Now, there's a scripture, and we sung about it today, twice. In Cornerstone, it says, my anchor holds within the veil. Do you know, here's a scripture in Hebrews. It says this, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunners entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, an anchor, why would you need an anchor? Why would you need to use an anchor, Joseph? Yeah, it's mainly for a boat, isn't it? To stop your boat from just going wherever. Joel? Yeah, to stop your boat from crashing into rocks. That's good. Eb? To keep your boat just where it's meant to be. I couldn't have worded this better. Joel?
To stop the boat from crashing into bombs.
Yeah, you wouldn't want your boat crashing into a bomb. That's right. Have a look at some of these pictures of anchors. There's lots of different types of anchors. Look at this one. That's the chain goes onto that gap there, and then you drop it down. Here's another anchor. That's sort of more the type of anchor that we're sort of probably was in your head when I said the word anchor. But look at that one. That's a bit different too. They sort of look a little bit similar, but they're all for, you know, different purposes. Check out that one. It does look like a propeller. That's called a grapnel anchor, that one. Look at that one. It does look like a weight, but it's an anchor. Check that one out. So, anchors are not... I thought the anchors, you just get enough rope to lower your anchor down to the bottom, and then once it touched the bottom, we're good. But that's not how an anchor works. If you look at all these anchors, they're designed to dig into the ground. So let's go back to that one. Have a look at the shape of it. It's designed to dig into the ground. And you know, when you let the anchor out with the chain or the rope, you don't just wait till it touches the bottom. You actually have to let out a lot more rope than that. In fact, they say at least, or depending where you are, but 5 times more the depth of the water. So just say you're in 2 meters of water. What's 5 times 2? 10. So you need 10 meters of rope. So you drop it down and then you back away because you don't want all your chain piling up on top of each other, then it can get all snagged. So as you drop it down, then you back away and then you keep going. Then when 10 meters happens, then you pull a bit further and you just let, and you're going to see if it's dug in and see if it's steadfast and secure. And you know what you do? You check as you're going back. You fix your eye on something like a rock or a tree, and you keep it in mind, in sight. And then when you pull back, does the tree move? Because if the tree's going like that, you're just going further back. But if it's staying still, that means the anchor's steadfast and it's held secure. I've got an anchor with me today. Believe it or not, not every day you bring an anchor to church, but I brought an anchor. Here we go, you ready? It's an old rusty anchor. Here's one I prepared earlier. Oh my goodness, look at this. Look at that. This is a heavy anchor. Yeah, it's like it's one of the ones we saw. Look how rusty it is. Now, this anchor's got a bit of a story to it. My dad, when he was young, he found this anchor when he was going snorkeling. And what he did was he had to dive down really deep to get to it. Because it's so heavy, he couldn't just swim to the surface and keep going along. So he had to dive down, pick it up. Oh, my, that's heavy. Swim to the top. Down he goes, down. Dragging it through the water. And he had to do it for ages. It took him to get it all the way. And then he ended up getting this anchor. So that's, there you go. My dad had to work hard for this thing. He's found this lost anchor. A bit sad that there was a boat floating around without its anchor. But look at this. So, hope, the Bible says, is like an anchor. Okay? And so I reckon that before we're Christians, we're just floating around, floating wherever the wind takes us, wherever the tides go. We could crash into something, we could, you know what I mean? I think that's what it's like. But when we're saved, it's like we drop an anchor right at that moment. Boom. And as we pull against the rope, it digs into the ground, it digs into it and holds secure on the things that we have hope for. Heaven, eternal life. Jesus Christ is returning. He's in us. It's the hope of the glory that we're going to share with Christ. It's amazing. And it keeps us firm in Him. Better get a rope here. And I need someone to be my soul. I'm going to ask Ebony, you can be my soul. This is going to be a bit of a marine knot called the double granny. All right, let's put this here. There we go. All right, Ebony, come up here. Now, at the moment, Ebony does not believe in Jesus. So if the wind blows this way, that's it. She just goes, oh, no, she's going everywhere. Watch out for the rocks. Watch out. It's wherever it goes. Oh, it's changing direction. Oh my goodness, Ebony, you gotta watch out. You could get shipwrecked. So, up here. Now, Ebony's soul, my soul, sorry, this is my soul, is my mind, my thoughts, my will, what I choose, and my emotions, how I feel. Arms up. So when I'm saved, my soul, which is attached to this anchor. All right, now, let's go. Let's see what happens when we blow this way. I got to choose my way carefully here. All right, let's imagine that it goes that way. Oh! And that way. Look at this. And whoop. Pull against it, make sure it's in nice and firm. So, what's great about it being attached to my soul is that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what comes my way, no matter what winds blow or things the enemy tries to get at me with this and that, my soul, my thoughts and my will, my emotions should really be attached to this thing that's secured in these things that are to come, that we have great hope for. Come back, soul. Awesome. Well done. I can. I don't know what this represents, but...
I'm free.
Yeah. Wow. It's a good picture, isn't it? So an anchor is to prevent a boat from drifting due to wind or currents or tides. So we see that there's lots of different currents happening over time that are, you know, might be compatible with, you know, how we live as Christians. And other times the current changes and it's totally different and contrary. And I think some people try and hoist up their anchor enough to just go along with the flow. But we're to be steadfast and firm in what we believe and in the hope that we have, because otherwise we're going to get shipwrecked. In Joel, got to mention Joel, Joel 3:16, it says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake." Whew, that sounds pretty full on. "But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." And just to finish with, nice short message. That's bad. Come on. There we go. All right, let's have a listen to this. This is from a guy called Albert Barnes that talked about hope being like an anchor to our soul. "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. So hope accomplishes for the soul the same thing which an anchor does for a ship. It makes it fast and secure. An anchor preserves a ship when the waves beat and the winds blow. And as long as the anchor holds, so long as the ship is safe and we don't have to worry about any danger." It's good, isn't it? We can rest in it. Ah. "So with the soul of the Christian. In the tempests and trials of life, our mind can be calm as long as our hope in heaven is firm. If that gives way, he feels that all is lost. Do you know there was a time when I was 7 years old? Is anyone seven here? Phoebe, you're seven. How old are you, Joseph? You're nine. Well, you know, it's close. Closer than me. There was a time when my anchor wasn't so firm on the hope that it should have been. And I remember lying in bed one night, and I remember thinking, because I was a Christian from when I was very young. I think you might have been there, Claire, probably the day that I was saved. But I was seven, and my anchor started getting a bit dislodged. And I suddenly thought, what if Jesus isn't real? What if there isn't a heaven? And what if I'm not going to spend forever with Jesus in heaven? And it was like my anchor just dislodged for a little bit. And I had to go to my mum and have a chat with her. And my anchor just got wedged right where it should be. And I don't think it's moved since then. And so sometimes we might feel like, oh, what if this or what if that? And it just goes to show that we need to be careful about what our hope's in. So that's my challenge to you and my encouragement. Remember the anchor. Remember Ebony, who no matter which way the wind would blow her, she was, even though she might drift a little bit. What's interesting with a boat is no matter which way the wind blows, like if you let the anchor off the front, your anchor will always be in front of you. So, your anchor won't be back there somewhere. No matter which way the wind blows, the anchor's here. Or if the wind was blowing this way, you'd swing around like that and your anchor's there. We need to keep our hope in front of us. Let's leave it there. I'll pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for how clear it is, God, that if we have our hope in you, we don't have to be afraid. If we have our hope in things of this world or things that are passing, Lord, oh, Lord, we're going to run aground on some rocks. Thank you, God, that when we were saved, we dropped an anchor of hope into the things of you. And we thank you, Lord, that we are sure and steadfast, that we can trust in you and know that no matter what comes our way, that you've got us in the palm of your hand. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.